This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is my first time seeing the eels in a week. Yeah, so far I see Melanie, Neil, mentally eel over there. Always bathtub.
Hi, I'm Rachel Hampton.
And I'm Morgan Song, and you're listening to ICYMI.
In case you missed it.
Slate's podcast about internet culture.
And today I am joined by NBC News internet culture reporter and honestly one of my personal favorite Twitter follows, Morgan Song. Hello. Hi.
Hi. I'm so honored because I also love your Twitter. I think anyone who tweets in all lowercase is very intimidating and very fun.
Yes. No, it's like a spiritual thing. I cannot
it
see
is.
An uppercase letter unless it's for emphasis. I feel like I've followed you on Twitter for a while, and I'm just like, she seems so cool. So I'm glad that we're here together.
I'm so glad you said that, because I worry whenever someone's like, I follow you on Twitter, and I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, you don't need that in your life.
I'm just like, I'm intimidated a little bit. Like,
I'm so honored to hear that. And also now even more intimidated. So this is a good energy we have.
Great. I love to intimidate each other back and forth. In grand guest host tradition, I have a few starter questions before we get into like the real questions, but are you ready?
I'm so ready.
Yay. Okay. So throughout the year, I've started asking this question both on this podcast and in real life. And I think you're one of our last guest hosts for the year. And so I have to ask you this question, which is, do you think that Jesus Christ was canonically hot?
You know, I have also thought about this.
Oh my God.
I think Jesus was like ugly hot, you know, like Jesus wasn't like hot at first glance, but like he's one of those people where like he starts talking, you're like, oh, I see it now, you know.
That's like, exactly yeah. What I thought. He's like Pete Davidson.
Exactly. Or like mm-hmm. Maddie Healy hot. We were like, what is that? What's going on here? And then you start like seeing him interacting with people and you're like, yeah, I can see it.
Yeah.
You know?
No, yeah. I get it. No, exactly. I have been saying for years that he is mid at best, but has really good mm-hmm. energy. And you feel that when he starts talking.
I think Jesus is one of those guys where like he cuts his hair and then you're like, oh no. Like,
yes.
Why was I like paying attention yes. to him?
Yes. One of those TikTok videos where like the barber
oh
where you see them come in and you're like, okay. And then they leave and you're mm-hmm. like, you changed that man's life.
Truly, right?
All right. Well, now that we've perhaps committed heresy, I think it's time for the second question, which is, what is your very first internet memory?
Ooh, this is also something I've been thinking about a lot because I'm sure I've had like internet memories that I wasn't as conscious of. But I think my first like very intentional, like conscious internet memory was when my cousin showed me Salad Fingers.
Hello. I like rusty spoons.
It scarred me for life, but I also was so mm-hmm. intrigued that I, like, he showed me Salad Fingers, like, when it came out, a year after it came out, so I must have been, like, under, like, I don't know, 10 years old, maybe. Mm-hmm. But then I, like, was horrified and terrified of it, but then I went back and watched the rest. So, yeah, I don't know. I think that really set me up for failure in life.
Yeah. I mean, or success, given your chosen internet, your chosen career at this
True.
Point.
I think maybe career success, but like it probably did something to me developmentally that,
yeah.
you know, needs to be studied. See if other mm-hmm. children of the early 2000s had this too.
Oh, undoubtedly. Seeing something horrifying and instead of leaving, immediately looking for more. That sounds correct.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like the same energy as like, you know, when you scroll past a TikTok and you're like, what's going on here? And you have to run to the comments, you know, and you're like, this makes me a bad person, but I am going to consume this.
But also, I'm not the only bad person because there are so many comments here. So we must all be joined together in this.
Exactly. It's kind of like a wholesome, but like really messed up dynamic. I love it.
Yeah. It's the internet. We love it.
Exactly.
Perfect. Well, that's kind of a perfect segue into today's episode, which is you, Morgan Sung, and your relationship to the internet. You are our second installment in a new segment that we have been calling Internet Diary, though honestly, any other better options out there, I'm more than welcome to hear. But the concept is super simple and also mostly selfish, and that I mostly wanted an excuse to have like really smart, cool people I know come on and tell me about their internet habits. So that's gonna happen after a short break. I will be back with Morgan to talk all about what she does on the internet all day.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back with Morgan. We're going to go back in the past because I feel like, you know, you have to figure out what your roots are. So what was the first platform that you remember using like every day, like the first platform that became a part of your regular life?
So I wasn't allowed to have like public social media as a child, which is I complained a lot, you know, until I was a teenager. But that didn't mean that I wasn't online. And so I remember like fifth or sixth grade, like checking fanfiction.net every day. I was a voracious reader as a child. And so when I discovered the world of fanfiction, like my eyes just opened.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Wow. How did you know my second question, which is what's the first fandom you joined? What were you reading on fanfiction.net? Tell me right now.
You know, okay, so I think it's, like, the gateway fandom, of course, was Harry Potter, like, every other, like, you know, like, young millennial, whatever. But from there, it morphed into reading a lot of Zutara fanfics because I was watching...
Why are we the same person?
I know! I was watching a lot of The Last Airbender. I was hating the direction it was going in, and I was like...
Yes!
I'm such a Katang hater, like, truly.
Same!
It's so... It feels so fake, and I'm like, that is a child...
Yes, and his mother.
Right? Literally his mother, and you watch Legend of Korra, and you're like, he just became a bigger child. Like,
yes, yes. You know? And then Katara just becomes, like, a wife, like a housewife, right? And you're like, she should have been an ambassador. If she was with fucking Zuko, she would have been queen.
She would have been queen. She would have, like, healed generations of warfare and trauma.
Wow. I could talk about this for the rest of the episode, but we have to keep going. Okay, so other than Zutara, obviously, what is the last piece of, like, internet ephemera that's just lodged its way into your brain and refused to leave? Like, it can be so old. It does not have to be anything recent, but it also can be, like, the Korn Kid song.
Okay, so at first I was going to say, you know that's me as a baby thing on TikTok?
Yes.
Like, I was going to say that at first. And then, like, right before I, like, jumped on the Zoom call, I saw the videos of Elon getting booed at the Dave Chappelle show. And I was like, that will be in my head forever. Like anytime someone has a bad take, I'm just gonna think of like thousands and thousands of people booing Elon.
Make some noise for the richest man in the world.
Yes, and the fact that he responded on Twitter with, well, actually 90% of the crowd was cheering and only 10% of them were booing. So if you think about it, I won, which is the most, like embarrassing thing you can say about yourself on Twitter. It's so embarrassing.
Like he didn't have to say anything about it. He could have just like logged off. Well, I mean, I don't know if this man's capable of logging off.
I was like, does he have the ability to do that?
If I was taking an L like that so publicly with multiple angles, I would just like, and I had that much money, I would truly just go live on Mars.
Okay, that's what I don't understand about Elon, is that he has the money to be like in Mykonos one day and then like in Brazil the next day and then like in the rainforest the other day, and he chooses instead to do this, and it doesn't make any sense.
Right?
Well, as someone who's chronically online, I have to know what's in your internet diet right now. When we emailed you about this, you said you spent 71 hours on the Am I the Asshole subreddit in 2022.
My Reddit recap humbled me so badly. Everyone jokes about their Spotify Wrapped being embarrassing, yeah. But I was like, nothing has like come for me. Made me like reevaluate my entire existence the way that this has.
Yeah.
I think so. When the pandemic started, I just like, I was doom scrolling a lot. And the way to stop doom scrolling was I would just go on Reddit and read like, you know, whatever's on there. And I got into a really bad habit of falling asleep reading Am I the Asshole posts. And I think I just conditioned myself to only be able to fall asleep. I have terrible sleep hygiene and I know this.
Yeah.
But I think I've conditioned myself to only fall asleep if I can like, be a little bit pissed off.
So
I just like got into this like messed up habit of scrolling through Am I the Asshole like to fall asleep, and then like the other like Am I the Asshole adjacent subreddits, like the best of Reddit updates, or like the Am I the Devil, which is all the highlights of Am I the Asshole, the worst of Am I the Asshole. And I don't know like how to break this habit, but like I don't know. It cured my insomnia, kind of. So I can't really complain.
Like, it's like six in one hand, half a dozen in the other. Like, either you sleep or you're a little bit angry.
Right. And I do think it has made my, like, nightly teeth grinding worse. So I don't know what the real, like, cost benefit of this is. I don't know. It could be so many things. But I feel like it's maybe healthier than, like, falling asleep, doom scrolling through Twitter, you know?
Oh,
at least it's,
undoubtedly.
Like, a weird, like, sense of escapism.
Yeah, it's someone else's problem rather than someone being like, this is all your problem.
Exactly. And also, okay. I don't know, it is easy to like spot. At this point, I think I've developed this like, everyone on Am I the Asshole is fake, but I am going to like hate read it anyway.
Okay, so other than, you know, the subreddit, Am I the Asshole? What else are you spending your time on?
I think I do spend a lot of time right now on Twitter. Like, but I don't think I think like every year I'm like, I'm going to spend less time on Twitter, and I don't spend less time on Twitter. It probably gets longer.
It's part of our job at this point.
I know, right? And then like, I mean, I scroll a lot on TikTok, which is like mindless scrolling, but at the same time in my head, I'm like, this is also working.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, I think I spend the most time on Twitter and TikTok, and then I like very reluctantly will check Instagram. Because it's not, it's just like, I think like, it's just all reels for me now, like suggested reels or like sponsored posts or ads. And I just want to see like who, you know, which one of my like childhood frenemies got engaged, you know, I don't want to see like
so true.
All this content, you know, which is like, I don't know. So I think maybe me checking Instagram less is probably making me less of a hater in real life, but also falling asleep to Am I the Asshole is making me more of a hater in general.
So we're balanced at this point. We're squarely back in the middle. Yeah.
I really hope so. And I do check Tumblr a lot now. I've been like getting back on that, and it's like so much more fun.
Isn't it? Tumblr is just so pure right now. Like there's just something about that website that is like no other website, and that there's no incentive to be there besides wanting to be there versus other apps. Twitter, I'm on there in case there's like a nuclear war or like a tornado in New York. TikTok, I'm on there because it's where so much internet culture comes from at this point. Like Reddit, I need that for life. I'm going to be honest. I don't know how medication works without somebody on Reddit telling me not to take something else with it. Like,
that, and I can't buy anything anymore without like going on Reddit and checking reviews. Yeah. I'm like, how am I supposed to know like what to buy?
Yeah, no, exactly. I'm always just like, whenever I have a medical question, I don't even do WebMD. I just look on Reddit now because I'm just like, they will tell me the truth about what's going on here.
And it's like one of those like double-edged swords where I'm like, wow, this is so educational, but also am I dying of this like condition? I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's not right? great. But Tumblr, you're just like, everyone here is sick in the head in the same way that I am. And they're also putting the most beautiful things on my dashboard and I love it.
Exactly. I feel like, or at least, I don't know, maybe it's just my Tumblr feed lately because like, I don't know, everyone I follow on Tumblr now kind of has been there for years and years and years and maybe has grown out of like the really inane discourse that happens on TikTok. Cause I feel like TikTok is having that like Tumblr discourse from 10 years ago resurface, but everyone on Tumblr is like, and they're like mid-20s, mid-30s, like tired, just like done with it, you know? And like, just wants to be there, just having a good time.
Yes, exactly. And they make fun of the discourse in a way that you know they're informed about what's actually happening versus just making fun of it as out of like a reactionary thing. You're like, oh, you were raised in the same minds that I was and you understand exactly what's going on here. And I love that.
Yeah, you won't get any of those like, oh, boohoo, woke takes like making fun of the discourse. It's more just like, guys, go touch grass, please, discourse.
No, you know, like. Yep. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. So how do you decide, as someone who covers the internet and knows that anything can become, you know, the topic of internet discourse for the next 2 weeks straight, how do you decide, like, what to post and when to post and where to post?
I think, like, I've taken a step back from, like, jumping on discourse now because I'm like, it's not for any moral reason. I'm just like, wow, I'm tired. Not everything needs to be a take.
Girl, same.
No. I don't know. I'll like post like, I don't know, silly jokes or whatever on TikTok. And I'll occasionally still post. I'll post a lot of memes on Twitter. But like, I feel like a lot of discourse now, I'm like, oh, I'm just doing this. I'm just quote tweeting and like quote tweeting a take and not really doing anything about it. And I think I have done it a lot less recently. Just because I'm like, this is, I don't know. I'm like, what am I adding to this conversation, really? You know? So, but at the same time, sometimes I cannot help but just, like, make fun of Elon Musk. I'm like, if you didn't want to be made fun of, then
why is
that's
here?
On you. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. No, that was actually one of my 2023 New Year's resolutions, is to stop quote tweeting discourse, just because why am I doing this?
I feel like this year I quote tweeted a lot less discourse and instead just like subtweeted it. But then I was like, I have to, like, someone in my mentions is going to be like, oh, like, what's the context? Why aren't you providing context? And I just be like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to spend that energy on you. Right.
Yeah. Like, as much as Twitter feels like part of our jobs, it's really hard to forget. Like, I actually don't need to engage with any of this or with any of you people.
Right, and being like, I am not paid for this.
Yes, to be here. I am not paid to be here. Yeah, no, just, yes. All right, well, I have so many other questions for you, but first we've got to take a short break. When we're back, we're going to talk about some conspiracy theories.
I can't wait.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Hey, listeners, whether you love true crime or comedies, celebrity interviews, news, or even motivational speakers, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue, right? And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance, too. Enter the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. The Name Your Price tool puts you in charge of your auto insurance by working just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance. Then they'll show you a variety of coverages that fit within your budget, giving you options. Now, that's something you'll want to press play on. It's easy to start a quote, and you'll be able to choose the best option for you fast. It's just one of the many ways you can save with Progressive Insurance. Quote today at progressive.com to try the Name Your Price tool for yourself and join over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. Chumba. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
Hey, y'all. If you love our podcast, then please consider subscribing to Slate Plus. When you subscribe to Slate Plus, you get no ads on any Slate podcast, including this one. You'll be supporting the show. I See Why Am I would not be possible without the support of Slate Plus subscribers. And you'll also get bonus segments or episodes on shows like the award-winning recent season of Slow Burn, Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Big Mood, Little Mood, and Slate Money. You also get unlimited reading on the Slate website, which means you get access to every single article and advice column on Slate without ever hitting the paywall. Just visit slate.com/ICYMI+ to sign up. That is slate.com/ICYMI+. All right, and we're back. My first question back from the break is, if you were to be supreme leader of the internet for the rest of your life and you instituted one rule that everyone on the internet had to follow, what would it be?
For me, it's okay. My personal pet peeve that drives me absolutely insane and just makes me so, so mad is when people follow up on something that goes viral with like, oh, I didn't expect this to blow up. And I'm like, why would you post it publicly? I feel like if you're posting publicly on any platform, it doesn't matter if you have like 2 followers or like 200,000. If you're posting publicly, then you have to do it with the expectation that you might get some attention and it might blow up. It just makes me so mad. Like if it's like a follow up tweet where someone's like, oh, I didn't expect this to blow up. I'm like, shut up. Yes, you did. That's why you posted it.
Truly. Yes.
Okay. I know.
When it's like a story time on,
oh my God,
on TikTok, and then they follow up with like, oh, part 2 of the story, but you have to wait 30 seconds and then be like, I can't believe this blew up. And I'm like, why'd you post a story time if you didn't think it was going to blow up? You knew it was going to blow up. Don't waste my time. I want to hear the part 2.
Yes. When it's like a full like 45 second intro of them being like, I really didn't expect this to blow up. I just posted it because I thought it was funny. And then it's like 45 seconds in and then they tell 15 seconds of the story and they're like, oh, I'm running out of time. Part 2. And I'm like, you didn't need to do this. It didn't have to be like this.
I feel so scammed when that happens. It's like when you open a bag of chips and it's majority air and you're like, what did I pay for?
Oh, my God. I know. Ugh, it drives me insane. But I also know, like, I know like a lot of people aren't used to being perceived in such a large, on such a large scale. But at the same time, I'm like, I feel like we as a society have gotten to a point where you have to expect it.
Yes, same. And I'm just like, on one level, I'm like, I feel bad for feeling entitled to like whatever you're about to tell me. But on the other hand, I have one wild and precious life and you're wasting 45 seconds of it. Like, come on, speed it up.
That's it. Cause I'm like, I could, you know, take this energy and be like, why am I so invested in a stranger's life?
Yes.
Or I can just, you know, be angry. And
yeah,
I'm not the bigger person. I will just be angry.
I'm not choosing to be a bigger person. Not here. I want to hear my little drama and I want to hear it fast.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're on the same page. Okay. So if you could only follow 3 people on social media, who would they be?
Okay, so this kind of ties into my complaint about people who do like long story times and are just like incapable of speaking concisely. I think maybe I'm just judgmental because like being a journalist, you have to learn how to like communicate very quickly. So the first person would be Cliff Notes Gal on TikTok because she just people tag her in these like 8-part stories and she really quickly summarizes them in like a 1-minute video.
This fucking text message right here changed my life forever. She got a text message from someone telling her she needed to do an ancestry DNA test, and she asked her mom if someone would tell her to do this, and her mom told her she had an affair when she decided to go back to school for teaching. Turns out the OP's bio dad wasn't who she was raised to believe it was, and she finds out the text came from her cousin on her bio dad's side. Also turns out bio dad tried reaching
out
to mom.
I love it. I don't know what I would do without her.
So beautiful. Yeah. I'm about to follow her immediately because the amount of times I've scrubbed through 8 parts to try to get to the most important bits.
I know. And also, like, a lot of people, and I don't judge them because I also speak in a lot of tangents, and, like, I feel like I can be pretty disorganized. But sometimes they'll be, like, telling a story, and they'll be like, oh, and here's a detail that you should, like, from part one that I forgot to mention that should have been in part one, but now I'm mentioning now. And I'm like, please, I just need a timeline. And she just, like, she's so good at just, like, you know, putting everything together. And I'm like, thank you. This is, like, maybe it's bad. I don't know. Maybe it says something about, like, our dwindling attention spans, but I love her.
It's more about our, you know, love for good and structured storytelling is how I feel.
I agree. No, agree with that.
We have a discerning eye and ear.
It's definitely that and not my own impatience. Yes, I agree.
No, no, totally. Definitely not impatience. No, no. It's because I'm Martin Scorsese and I understand storytelling.
Yes. Yeah. I definitely haven't rotted my brain from from being online.
Not at all.
The second person I would follow is the TikTok eel pit guy. I just am so invested. This guy had like a storm drain something in his house that he decided to turn into an eel pit. It literally looks like a pit. And it's like this with a manhole cover, but it looks like a pit in his house. And he started documenting it earlier this year.
Hi, everybody. So today in the eel pit, this is actually my first time down here in a week. I've had my brother throwing food down for the eels, but they all are already moving. Let me jump down and start feeding them.
And I was just like, who is this man? Why am I so invested in him, like, draining this pit in his basement, in his backyard or whatever, and, like, purifying the water and making it safe for all the eels he wants to raise.
That's so
and
sweet.
He's just made it like a little fresh water. It's kind of terrifying because it's, you know, a pit in his house.
Full
with
of
no
eels.
Lights. But it's kind of wholesome. I know.
Yeah.
But it's kind of wholesome because he's just like turning this into like its own little freshwater ecosystem, and he gives his like followers updates on his eel pit. And I'm just like, I needed this. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, actually I did need updates on your eels. Thank you so much.
Right? Okay, the third person I would follow is someone I started following very recently, and it's just someone who's kicking a rock every day until it becomes a sphere. They want a perfectly spherical rock, and they just record themselves every day kicking this rock through like various weather conditions. You never see their face, you never see like hear their voice. It's just like their shoes kicking this rock every day.
Yeah.
And at the end of the video, they pick it up and they're like, they rate it and they're like, weather conditions, 4 out of 10, like, spherical quality, 6 out of 10. And like in the past, they've been doing it for like 16, 17 days. And in the past 17 days, it's really genuinely become like more, it hasn't become a sphere yet, but it's definitely become more rounded. And it's just,
I was
like,
going to ask, is this working?
It is becoming more like round. It's still not perfect yet, but like, I don't know. They're just making erosion happen. Like,
I'm just watching erosion happen in front of my very eyes.
And at first I was like, huh, that's really dumb. But by day two, like, the algorithm brought it back. And I was like, it is starting to look smoother, huh?
Actually, you know what? Yeah.
And now, like, every day I check TikTok and it's like, it comes up on my feed and I'm like, oh my God, it's working. I'm so weirdly, like, proud of this person.
Wow. I just, for some reason, have the phrase, like, in the tone of egg is bigger than before, like, rock is rounder than before.
Literally. And, like, I'm just like, why am I... It always comes up during my, like, late night scrolling for some reason, and I'll just be like, oh my God, it is rounder. It's rounder than yesterday.
It is working. That is, I feel like, the best part about TikTok is that it will just randomly drop you into some world where the process of something that you never understood is suddenly being explained to you, where you're just like, oh, this is how you make an eel pit in your garage if you wanted, or this is how a rock becomes round. And I, like, this is how a car is detailed. This is how rug cleaning works.
Right.
And I'm just sucked in every single time. Like, I never really had the question, but now I do.
I know. Those, like, the car wrapping videos where someone's, like, putting, like, making their car, like, glittery purple. And I'm like,
yes.
Wow. I thought that would, like, I would think it's paint, you know?
Yes. But now I know exactly. It's yeah. I feel smarter, honestly.
I know, right? It's like, for all its faults, like, I don't know. I feel like TikTok does, like, a lot of time against my will, but I'll take it. But TikTok does educate me on some things that I didn't really need, but now I know more things about it.
It's so true. Often against my will. Mm-hmm. The things I found out that I didn't actually need to know, I'm like, well, thank you for telling me about how childbirth works in more detail than I ever wanted.
That's like, I don't know why, but like the algorithm has just been feeding me so many like childbirth horror stories. And I'm like, why am I your target like demographic? Mm-hmm. I just don't get it.
It's just like, I wasn't planning on doing that, but now I'm really not. Thank you.
Right. And it'll be people like being like saying things so nonchalantly. They'll be like, oh, like my baby is the love of my life. Like I didn't know what love was before this, but my teeth did fall out.
Yes. Or I love my child so much. Truly the best thing in my life. My nipple did fall off while I was breastfeeding once.
Yeah. I saw that. And I was like, that. Yeah. Why are you saying that so casually?
Yeah. How are you so okay right now?
It's like that, there's like this TikTok account of this girl with like a running notes app list of like,
yes, I love her. Yeah.
Birth, or like all the things that can go wrong. And I'm like, why are they telling us about this in health class? Like,
no, I feel truly.
Like abstinence only education, like if you really wanted to prevent teen pregnancy, you would have this running list.
No, telling me
class about
the horrors of like pregnancy and childbirth. Like none of the other things you've told me really scared me more than what I've learned on TikTok. Like abstinence only educators should be taking notes.
I know. And like, I'm like, why are we not talking about this? I didn't want to learn about this, but now I know about it. And for some reason I'm learning more about it against my will.
Yeah. Yep. Once again, against my will. Oh my gosh. Okay. So my last question is, what is your most deeply held but least provable internet conspiracy theory? Like mine is everyone and their mother has told me my phone is not listening to me. So many people have told me this and that what's actually happening is data collection on a level that's even scarier. And I understand that. But I also don't really believe that it's not listening to me. I'm going to be honest.
First of all, I also completely believe that. Like, I don't know, all those memes from a couple of years ago that was like, my FBI or NSA agent listening to me. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm just like, yes, no. There is definitely a one person assigned to every person in America keeping tabs.
Uh-huh.
My other one is, I think that all those, like, spend a day in the life with me at work videos, like, come into the office with me, like, while I, like, get sweet green and go to Equinox, whatever. I think they're all return to office psyops.
No, you're right. You're just right. No, that's correct.
I'm like, I have no proof yet, but one day I will prove.
Oh my God, the amount of Google employees I've seen who are just like, come see the Google offices with me. Like, come see all the cool things we have in our office. And I'm just like, no, we're not doing this.
I know. And I'm just like, and they'll be like, and my office has all these perks and I only get them if I come into the office. And I'm just like, who's telling you to make this? Like, who's like on the, like behind you, like in front of you on the camera, like with a script, you know, like telling you what to say.
So true. Well, I really feel like this past episode has just been like a meeting of minds. Like, I feel so seen by you.
I feel so honored. That was so fun.
It was. I'm so glad you could join us.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I hope if I'm ever on again, my Am I the Asshole scrolling is curbed in some way.
I hope not. This episode is presented by Best Buy, and I am here with my producers, Daniel Schrader and Daisy Rosario, who are here to talk to me about the holidays, specifically the holidays on the internet. So I have a question for y'all. You know I love to ask questions.
Always. I remain excited and scared.
Likewise.
This one's a light lift, which is there any holiday tradition or holiday, you know, ephemera that the internet has made you rethink or reconsider?
I would say for me, it's like there are things that I love every year that the internet helps me, you know, both feel better about and kind of roasts me about passively, right? So it's like when like it's not like Christmas time, but when Halloween comes around, like I'm a candy corn person. You know what I mean? So like all of a sudden, right, you understand okay. where I'm going. Right. Thank you. Exactly. I love it. I can't explain it to people, but I just adore it. So for me, the Christmas equivalent of that, or the holiday equivalent of that, is the movie The Family Stone, which I really enjoy watching. And I also get why other people hate it, but it's just fun to me to be online and see other people either completely love it or hate it so passionately.
I actually listened to a Real Housewives recap podcast where every year they do a Family Stone rewatch episode.
What?
Yeah, it's very fun.
These are the deep cuts I need.
I'll send it to you. Don't worry.
Please.
All right, Daniel.
Okay, so I feel like I have two for this.
Of course.
One of them is I just have to thank Netflix for the Vanessa Hudgens cinematic universe.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes.
Of course.
That has like always mattered to me. And I'm just really upset that there wasn't one this year, because like for the past 4 years or whatever, we got Vanessa Hudgens Christmas movies, whether it was The Princess Switch or The Princess Switch 2 or The Night Before Christmas or The Princess Switch 3. Like,
what?
Yeah. Oh, there are three Princess Switches. Trust me. She plays three different versions of herself. It's brilliant. But like, her in Christmas movies is just Christmas to me now. And we wouldn't have that if it weren't for Netflix and streaming television. But the other thing is hookup apps. Specifically,
oh my God,
I love opening Grindr on Christmas yes. Eve in church.
Of course.
Just to see who's around.
Love no, of it. Course, just to see who's around. That's a beautiful use of Grindr, I'm going to be honest. I think that's what it was invented for.
Thank you.
That's a fantastic yeah. reminder of how funny going on apps was when I was single. Thank you for that image. Like reminding me of December swiping, because it was a special kind of swiping.
Oh, it is.
Special is definitely the word for it.
What about you, Rachel?
So I would say mine is, y'all know I love the Rankin Bass movies, obviously, the animated yes. stop motion Christmas
I'm
movies.
Mr. Snow Miser.
Exactly. That's actually what I was about to talk about, because that song is iconic in and of itself. But what I love is that every single year, TikTok does these makeup videos to the song where people do one half of their face like Snow Miser and one half of their face like Heat Miser. And now I can't hear that song or watch that movie without thinking of extremely talented makeup artists on TikTok. And I love that for me.
Yes. I mean, those are classics for a reason. This actually, I've been wanting to bring this up, but this is a great reminder. So Jules Bass, as in Rankin Bass, like Jules mm-hmm. Bass, he just passed away in October.
Oh, that's so sad.
I know. It's sad, but it's also kind of amazing to realize that he was there this whole time, because I think we yeah. all think of those specials as being so much older.
They're forever. I know. They've always yeah. been there.
They feel ubiquitous.
They really do. So shout out to Jules Bass.
Shout out to Jules Bass. And also shout out to Best Buy for sponsoring this episode. Shop great deals on gifts now at Best Buy for the rest of the holiday season.
I mean, honestly, sometimes finding like who is streaming what can be tricky. So I actually did end up buying all the Rankin Bass stuff from Best Buy.
Like, as you should.
All right, that is the show. I'll be back in your feed on Saturday, so please subscribe. It is the best way to never miss an episode, to never miss an interview with an incredibly cool person on the internet. Please leave a rating or review on Apple or Spotify and tell your friends about us. You can follow us on Twitter at @icym_pod, which is also going to DM us your questions or suggestions for internet diarists. And you can also always drop us a note at icymi@slate.com.
ICYMI is produced by Daniel Schrader and Rachel Hampton. Daisy Rosario is our senior supervising producer, and Alicia Montgomery is Slate's VP of audio. See you online.
Or not.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.